Happy Monday to you, and welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. It's a pleasure, as always, to speak with you again. I do want to remind you, you can follow the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSAC. The show, wherever podcasts are available, Spotify, Stitcher, the podcast app on your phone, wherever you choose to listen to podcasts, we are there. We ask that you listen, subscribe, enjoy, you know, leave us reviews, let us know what you want us to talk about. We always want to make sure that we've got you covered when it comes to the content we provide. So we are now a week past. 1 week ago, the NBA's offseason truly started. It has been an absolutely crazy just windstorm of activity. Obviously, much more than expected. Several teams have had very busy offseasons, and the Grizzlies have had a busier offseason than most expected, especially when it came to the draft, and they also were quite busy this weekend, and that's going to be on the focus. That's going to be the focus of today's show. In the first segment, we'll break down the re-signings of DeAnthony Melton and John Contra, what it means for the Grizzlies' backcourt. In the second segment, we'll talk about the re-signing of Jontay Porter and what that could mean for, you know, the Grizzlies' front court and what all this, what all the retaining of this depth means for the Grizzlies and how it indicates some preferences further for its further validation as to the preferences that Taylor Jenkins has for this roster going forward. And then the third segment, what does it all mean for the roster right now? We have more players signed to contracts than we do roster spots. What could be the end game for all these moves that we could see play out in the coming days? So we'll start with, obviously, the major move that the Grizzlies were focusing on this offseason, the one move that, you know, really was kind of going to dictate the directions that they could take. And, you know, while it's probably not surprising, but it is, you know, it's just a nice formality to finally see come to light, and that, of course, is the re-signing of, you know, restricted free agent DeAnthony Melton. The Grizzlies signed him to a 4-year, $35 million deal. A deal in and of itself comes out to a little under $9 million a year, and as was reported, it looks as if that Melton's contract will actually scale down from $9.6 million to $7.8 million. Over the life of the contract. Now, some details may emerge out of there. You know, further details may emerge. It could be a partial guarantee in the fourth year. You know, there could be other incentives, you know, in place. But overall, for a player of Melton's skill set and the fact that he's only 22, getting him signed for 4 years to just under $9 million per year, that's a pretty good deal. That honestly is a pretty straightforward deal. I understand completely that there still is, you know, a lack of true offensive value. You know, that might not come. Melton may not ever significantly develop, you know, an offensive game. However, the potential is there. And if it does emerge, if he does become, for instance, you know, if he becomes any type of reliable shooter or offensive threat, this contract instantly becomes a bargain because of the added value that he shows on defense. But if he's someone that provides 20 minutes a night as a reserve and spot starter in the backcourt, and his defensive impact, his defensive playmaking skills and ability in transition continue to get more efficient and of higher quality, that in and of itself makes the contract worth it. Because in and of itself, you know, in terms of what he can add individually through those two things, that certainly has value. But the way that it complements this Grizzlies team, who have, in my opinion, more of an offensive upside than a defensive upside, especially in the backcourt right now, Melton really is a nice contrast that you know, helps out this Grizzlies team. His playmaking on defense overall makes our defense better, but the ability for him to create extra possessions for the Grizzlies through his defensive rebounding as a guard, his ability to make steals, even his ability to block and alter shots and passes, all those things potentially lead to turnovers or to quick possessions. And of course, as we know, that's when the Grizzlies are at their best, is on the fast break. So Melton himself really adds to some strengths as well as helps to shore up some weaknesses for the Grizzlies, you know, through the areas of his game that are strengths. So I truly think that he is signed to be the seventh or eighth man in the rotation. And more than that, his abilities that he's good at, those, his strengths are good ways to address some Grizzlies' weaknesses or add to some Grizzlies' strengths. So I think that of itself makes it very likely this contract certainly he'll certainly show to be worth his money and time, but he easily could become a bargain as well. Speaking of bargains, the four-year, $9 million deal that the Grizzlies signed John Kotcher to also really stands out as a potential bargain as well. Now, I don't think that Kotcher ever becomes someone that, you know, gets to the level of a Melton or a Dillon Brooks or somebody like that. He certainly could if he continues to develop. But the whole idea behind Kotcher signing his deal is to give the Grizzlies a reliable end-of-the-bench option. Kind of like Melton stepping up to start if there's an injury to the starting lineup, then for short spurts, Kotcher could move up into being a reserve that plays 15 to 20 minutes a night over a short span of time. That type of depth has a great value, especially when you look at Kotcher's ability to contribute across the board. As I stated, Kotcher now is 24 years old. He likely is closer to a finished product than even Melton is, but the thing about it is to have him over 4 years signed for $9 million, it gives the Grizzlies option. As mentioned, it gives them, you know, depth, obviously. Depth that they can rely on if there were injuries to occur. But the other thing that it allows for the Grizzlies to do is this. It gives them options when it comes to transactions. If the Grizzlies, over the next year or so, were able to find a deal in which they maybe were to trade a Dillon Brooks or trade a Tyus Jones, Kotcher could step up in their position and take over, you know, maybe a little bit of a bigger or expanded role to 10 to 15 minutes a night, and that allows the Grizzlies to be able to have a backup option to come in and take place of an asset that they trade away. That's one way it could happen. Kotcher himself also could be part of a trade. As we've seen this offseason, it seems like more than any before, a big part of NBA trades is matching salaries, as finding players whose contracts can match salaries. And now with the guaranteed years of money that the Grizzlies have towards John Kotcher, they could potentially use him as a trade asset himself, either to be as an extra part of a package that could be encouraging for a rebuilding team, maybe as a way to match salaries to, you know, take a player out of a situation elsewhere and bring them to Memphis, or in and of himself, he could be, you know, used for money matching, you know, in the right deal. So there's just a lot of versatility that comes from John Kotcher. I think that both of these contracts, for Melton and Kotcher, certainly could make them trade assets in time. However, I don't think that the Grizzlies are, you know, looking at, you know, their commitment to Melton as being something that potentially makes him a trade chip down the road. I truly feel they want him to be a part of this culture and rotation for as long as possible, because they truly feel he could be a difference maker. He could be a relevant talent that could really help the Grizzlies' path towards contention. What I do think this means with the commitment to Dillon Brooks and also to John Kotcher, it now makes the likelihood that Tyus Jones or Dillon Brooks over the next year or so could be moved in the right deal to bring in a more significant backcourt talent to complement Ja Morant. I know we did just draft Desmond Bane as well. We also have Grayson Allen, but at some point, this depth in the backcourt is likely going to be consolidated into a significant future asset, whether that be as a draft pick or as a young talent that the Grizzlies trade or that the Grizzlies acquire from another place to really come in and be that long-term complement to Ja Morant in the starting lineup. So the whole idea about this is just locking up good quality potential in Melton and Kotcher, but also doing it in a way that allows for the Grizzlies to have plenty of options, not just in terms of injuries, but also potentially in terms of future moves that could be made that could involve a variety of players and could be done in a variety of ways. Speaking of variety and versatility, just like the Grizzlies gained by re-signing D'Anthony Melton and John Kotcher, that's exactly what they got in also re-signing Jontay Porter. In the second segment, I'm going to take a look at just what re-signing Porter means for the Grizzlies and why the front court is now truly becoming more of a strength than the Grizzlies have anticipated, because it's becoming closer and closer to the ideal source of offensive schemes that Taylor Jenkins wants to run in the present and future. The holidays are here, and of course, as we all know, right after that is the new year, and for many of us, that comes with a, you know, renewed commitment to better health. Well, I have a solution that's a simple addition to your day that can allow for you to gain a healthy benefit without having to wait till the new year, and that's Built Bar. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. It literally is a great-tasting snack that you can have for breakfast, before or after a workout, or in the afternoon, maybe listening to your favorite Locked On Podcast Network show that allows for you to add benefit to your day without making a big commitment. Go to BillBar.com right now. You're going to be able to find a wide assortment of flavors. More than likely, you're going to find a taste that meets your preferences. And also, if you go to BillBar.com right now, you can get 20% off your next order of Built Bar by putting in the promo code Locked On. The great thing, though, is that once you add Built Bar to your daily routine, I can tell you with confidence that it's going to be there to stay. Again, go to BillBar.com right now. Put in the promo code Locked On for 20% off your next order of Built Bar. Beyond the wonderful amount of talent and, you know, encouragement that has come from this past week, from, you know, the creativity and the decision-making of the front office to the amount of depth and young talent that the Grizzlies have added, we obviously have plenty of content to certainly cover, you know, over the next few weeks. And that also has allowed for me to be able to bring in some very talented minds and perspectives that will be joining me, you know, in the near future. Names such as Lauren Gunn, as I mentioned last week. She will be joining me this week in an interview discussing Dallas Mavericks, another team who had a really good draft, but also a team besides the other three teams in the Southwestern Conference. In all honesty, the team that it seems like a lot of us will be chasing here in the near future due to the existence of, you know, Luka Doncic. She'll be talking with me about the Mavericks offseason, what could be next for them even in 2021, and discussing their draft as well. And then, of course, Brad Rowland. He is a very, very talented basketball mind. He covers all things Atlanta, from the Braves to the Hawks and others, as well as covers basketball for Dime and is the Locked On Hawks and Locked On NBA draft host for the Locked On Podcast Network. So some very, very intelligent minds will be joining me to discuss the Grizzlies, the NBA draft, and just the offseason in general, as we always love to give, you know, diverse perspectives looking at all that there is to talk about with the NBA and the Grizzlies. So focusing back on the Grizzlies, you know, busy weekend. Obviously, you know, the re-signing of D'Anthony Melton was the major news, and the other expected move was John Concher. But this brought into question the future of Jontay Porter, as the Grizzlies, though they did send him a qualifying offer out, after they drafted Xavier Tillman, they signed Killian Tilly to a two-way contract, it seemed as if the Grizzlies may be perfectly fine, you know, with their front court. I wrote an article over at Grizzly Bear Blues last week talking about the depth and the versatility that the Grizzlies now had in their front court being a major strength, not only because the front court is the best part of this team in the present, but they now have added depth that, you know, certainly matches the preferences and gives Taylor Jenkins the options that he wants to run the offense that he desires. Well, the Grizzlies decided that Jontay Porter fit that scope as well when they re-signed him to a three-year, $6 million deal. So now when you look at the Grizzlies' front court, you've got Jonas Valanciunas and Jaren Jackson Jr. as the starters, and then you've got Brandon Clark, obviously, as in my opinion, one of the best reserve big men in the league. And then you also have Gorgui Dieng in the fold, but you now have Xavier Tillman, you've got Jontay Porter, and you've got Killian Tilly. So what this means is a variety of things. Number one, obviously the Grizzlies trio of Valanciunas, Jaren Jackson Jr., and Brandon Clark are here to stay, especially with Jaren Jackson Jr. likely not to be available until probably, I'll be honest, I think he could be out until February, as the Grizzlies are not going to in any way, shape, or form rush him back from his meniscus injury. I think that Jonas and Clark, and there's a good chance Gorgui, are probably here to stay. I think that Tillman will probably get some, you know, immediate time as well, and then depending on what happens, you could see Porter and Tilly in time also. But a couple of things that come from this that stand out are, you clearly can see that Taylor Jenkins is making sure that he is implementing his preferences as this roster is being built. When you look at Jaren Jackson Jr. and you look at Brandon Clark and the strides that they made as shooters last year, it's no fluke. Their improvement in their ability to shoot, especially from distance, is a direct result of what Taylor Jenkins focuses on when it comes to his offensive scheme. And it's a carbon copy of the system that he came from with Mike Budenholzer. When you looked at Mike Budenholzer in Atlanta and with the Bucks over the past 6 years, you've got names like Al Horford, Paul Millsap, Brooke Lopez, to an extent Giannis Antetokounmpo and others, to where you have both playmaking and shooting standing out from this group. Well, that is exactly what Taylor Jenkins is wanting to have up and down his roster so that he can have multiple sources of it on the court at any time. And that also was two areas of need for the Grizzlies this offseason, was secondary playmaking as well as shooting from distance. Well, now You've got Jaren Jackson Jr. and you have Brandon Clark. They showed that they have the ability to certainly shoot from distance in different ways and showed improvement in their playmaking ability. We'll now look at the draft. The Grizzlies drafted arguably the best passing big man in Xavier Tillman and the best shooting big man in Killian Tilly. Jontay Porter was identified as a talent that the Grizzlies preferred last March, and they committed to him for 3 more years now because while he has not played, you know, in nearly 3 years due to injuries, you know, he played last in the 2017-2018 NCAA season. He also showed above average ability in both passing and shooting. He averaged over 1 3 per game on nearly 4 threes taken per game. So he certainly does have volume and has shown the ability as a passer and shooter himself. And now the big thing is that the depth that the Grizzlies have found allows for them to have multiple options in the front court that can both pass and shoot at the same time at any one point in time, which again really, really matches the ideal offensive schemes that Taylor Jenkins wants to run. The other byproduct of this signing of Jontay Porter and the drafting of Tillman and Tilly is that it now means that the futures of Jonas Valanciunas and Gorgui Dieng may be a little bit more short-term than many had expected. Again, I don't think that Jonas is going to be traded before the season, especially with Jaren's injury, but I do think that now as we come up on the trade deadline, the idea of the Grizzlies looking to shop Jonas for future assets, it becomes more of a reality. Because not only do they have depth now to take his place if he were to be traded, it's depth that closer matches what Taylor Jenkins wants to run as an offense. You know, as we've seen with the fact that there have been several times Jonas has been on the bench at the end of games. With Gorgui, it becomes the fact that he likely is more than likely to be traded as well. Maybe, you know, as an expiring contract, I don't really think that the Grizzlies are going to make a major money move to where he's matching salary, but I do think that they shop the market and see if they may be able to use his contract, you know, in other trades that could occur between other teams or just simply as an expiring contract. Along with that, though, is the fact that when it comes to the Grizzlies' big men, now you see that they have the ability to also complement the skill sets of Jaren Jackson Jr. and Ja Morant. Ja Morant's ability to drive to the basket and finish is certainly admirable for a point guard. He's very, very good at it, especially in the fourth quarter. Jaren Jackson Jr.'s ability to shoot from three, as well as his hopeful ability to initiate his offense that we saw glimpses of in the bubble, that is the next development, hopefully, in his game that you hope to see. Yes, of course, we hope to see improvements in, you know, the fundamental areas of rebounding, fouling less, things such as that. But when you really consider what makes Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. special, having sources around them that can both pass and shoot really maximizes their skill set. You now can use Ja off the ball more and take advantage of his athleticism off the ball on drives or what have you. You know, with him in offensive schemes, you could also allow for Jaren Jackson Jr. to get open with his athleticism. You know, with other bigs guarding him, he can get open on the perimeter. But the other big thing is that when Ja Morant or, you know, Tyus Jones, for instance, are driving into the lane or the Grizzlies are operating in the paint, you now have other options that can step out and be secondary shooting options, especially in catch-and-shoot situations, especially when it comes to Killian Tilly and Jontay Porter. So it's all about having options, and it's all about having depth. And for someone like Taylor Jenkins, who seems to like to play a lot of different lineups, give a lot of different looks, but at the end of the day, loves the ability to space the floor, play fast, and rely on passing, this front court certainly offers that type of potential. And the big, big thing is this, is that when you look at the system that he came from and Mike Budenholzer, and you look at what Taylor Jenkins did last year, there is no reason not to have, he has provided more than enough reason to have a high amount of confidence that he not only can continue to make Jaren Jackson Jr. a potential all-star, and Brandon Clark one of the best reserve options in the league, maybe even a perennial sixth man of the year, if not more, but also he can allow for Jontay Porter, Killian Tilly, and Xavier Tillman in time to exceed their expectations. It's very unlikely that all three of those individuals become relevant rotation players in the NBA. Typically you just don't see that. But they're in the perfect system that with a coach who prefers their style of play and has shown the ability to help them maximize the most of it. And that's why I think it's a wonderful turn of events that the Grizzlies have done over the past week in terms of their ability to invest in bigs that match Taylor Jenkins' preferences. So in time, I, you may see a little bit of immediate value in Tillman. I think Jontay Porter, just like John Concher, because someone that could be a bargain, an end of the bench option right now that could eventually be a rotation piece, you know, if, you know, more higher profile players were to be traded, or potentially in time as he improves. But at the end of the day, you know, he even could be a trade piece himself. I do think that Jontay Porter's contract certainly has the potential to be a bargain of itself, not only from his individual value, but, you know, if other moves are made, or if they include him, it just gives the Grizzlies options. So that's the big thing that comes from these signings. Not only is it the depth, it's talented depth, but it's also very versatile depth that provides options on and off the court. And that's been the Grizzlies' goal all along, is to keep as many options on the table with the focus on the future so that they can have many different avenues in which they can improve this team. But with that, while they do have options, and they certainly do have plenty of different ways in which they can continue to prove the team, though the team will look much like it did last year, there's still moves to be made and a bit of a roster crunch right now with the team. In the third segment, I'm going to take a few minutes to discuss what could happen. What names could we focus on about potentially being, you know, the most likely to either move off the roster or potentially be traded, and what could come of the depth if Justice and Jaren were to be out for significant times to start the season. We'll look at that when we return. So with the Grizzlies now, you have basically 17 players in place in 15 roster spots. Obviously, at point guard, you've got Ja and you've got Tyus. And the rest of the backcourt, you've got Desmond Bane, you've got Dylan Brooks, you've got Anthony Melton, you've got Grayson Allen, John Concher, and Marco Kuduric. On the wing, you have Justice Winslow, you have Kyle Anderson, and you also have Mario Hezonja. And in the front court, you now have Jaren Jackson Jr., Brandon Clark, Jonas Valanciunas, Gorgui Dieng, as well as Jontay Porter. I'm sure I'm forgetting someone, but at the end of the day, you have 17 players that you are trying to condense down to the 15 players on your roster that you want moving forward. So some ways in which the Grizzlies get that done, some are simple, some are complex, some are just minor expected tinkering moves, but there could be the setup for a potential, you know, a bit of higher significance move. So what it comes to is just potentially waiving or buying out some contracts. And those especially are one-year deals, Mario Hezonja's deal. You could look at Marco Kuduric, maybe even Gorgui Dieng, or you could potentially look to include them in a trade to match salary. Obviously, when you look at the moves that have been made, it seems like an odd man out could be Kyle Anderson. As you know, it was shown last year that his skill set really didn't seem to be the best match with what Taylor Jenkins wanted to do on offense especially. Well, he probably is going to be kept around as being at least a reliable option to feel until Justice Winslow is back and can be trusted, but you could eventually see him move, though I don't think it's likely during the offseason. Obviously, as I mentioned, you know, Tyus Jones and Jonas Valanciunas become potential options, you know, even Grayson Allen and Dylan Brooks to an extent, but I think that Jones and Valanciunas really becomes options at needed areas that contenders have. You know, a lot of contenders still have needs, you know, in the middle, you know, for a center, as well as point guard depth. Both of those options could be trade deadline potential assets that the Grizzlies could use to cash in, you know, for future assets. They're just going to be more valuable when the Grizzlies are closer to contention. So, yes, you certainly should see some more movement. And I think at the end of the day, the Grizzlies are probably just going to go with the simple strategy. You know, I would the one thing that I would love to see is, so you've drafted Desmond Bane. You've drafted Xavier Tillman. You've also signed Killian Tilly and Jontay Porter as developmental pieces in the front court, while also signing John Concher and re-signing DeAnthony Melton, you know, as true reserves and developmental pieces at the backcourt. However, the one place where the Grizzlies probably still have the most question marks is on the wing. You have three guys who truly stand out as a quote-unquote small forward or wing type, and that's Justice Winslow, Kyle Anderson, and Mario Hezonja. And if I keep saying his name wrong, forgive me. But the thing about it is that those three players, while the potential is certainly there with Winslow, they all three have big question marks. For Anderson and Mario, it's the fit. They just don't seem to fit the preferences that Taylor Jenkins, you know, really wants to see in his depth. Though I would like to see what he could do with Mario, you know, in time. I think that there is, he's a former top 10 overall pick. I think his pedigree certainly means that talent is there. Perhaps Taylor Jenkins could be the one to finally unlock it. Though I think it's much more likely he's not on our opening night roster than he is. But the thing about it that I'm getting at is that if the Grizzlies could take one of their front court pieces and one of their back court pieces and potentially use them in a trade to get an intriguing wing piece, now they've got intriguing developmental pieces at all three areas, both in the back court, on the wing, and the front court. And that just really allows for their depth to be balanced, for them to have people to develop at all three areas that are going to be on the court, and also allow for the Grizzlies to, you know, potentially again gain value from unexpected sources that Taylor Jenkins has shown the ability to do through his development. So while I think at the end of the day you're likely just going to see small moves and you may not see another addition to this roster going forward, at least at this time, the chance is out there. At the end of the day, I think Mario and Marco probably are the most likely, you know, to be bought out. You know, if there was a way in which the Grizzlies were, you know, able to move Gorgui Dieng, perhaps they prefer to keep Mario around, you know, since he does have his pedigree and he is a wing where they need more depth. But of course, I would, you know, we always talk about the creativity of this front office. So I know that, you know, a few names that have been thrown out there with Charlotte during the Gordon Hayward trade were the Grizzlies potentially looking to, you know, maybe go after Miles Bridges or Malik Monk. Those could be options. There are plenty of other options out, you know, around the league, even those that have not played that much. There are some wing shooters, and in a future episode, I'll likely covering, there are some very intriguing wing shooters who basically got the playing time that John Concher did last year on teams that the Grizzlies may look at and be like, you know, hey, this guy could make sense in our situation, even as an end-of-the-bench option, that they'll certainly, you know, in time could develop into more. But the big thing is that the Grizzlies aren't done. And though, again, the future moves are likely to be minor, and there's certainly going to be more moves in which players exit the roster than are added to it, a couple of things are this, is that the Grizzlies are not done, and the likelihood that they're going to continue to make moves now and at the trade deadline in terms of trades certainly has increased with the depth that they now have. But a big thing else is this, the Grizzlies are highly confident in their ability to not only evaluate players, but in the process in which they do it. Because now you've seen them go out and get Melton. You've seen them draft Clark. You've seen them bring in Jonte Porter. You've seen them draft Bane and Tillman. The Grizzlies, and obviously signed Concher to an unrestricted, you know, or to a two-way contract last year. If the Grizzlies identify the player that they like, they are going to commit to that player for the long haul. And that while you could say that, you know, putting too much of investment into unlikely sources such as second-round picks or undrafted picks, that's certainly a fair point. But the Grizzlies, the reason why they want to commit to the players that they target to add through the draft and you know, other means, the reason why they commit to them is because they're confident in their ability to maximize those skill set and have those players exceed expectations, and that certainly is admirable. It's not only that the Grizzlies front office and coaching staff is creative and knowledgeable and that they have the ability to develop players, you know, beyond what many, you know, may have thought that those player ceilings could be, but that they're confident in doing it, and they also are confident and committed to seeing it through to where they know if they've put a roster together, they want to make the most of it and are confident that they can, and also want to build a culture that will support Ja and Jaren, and this is the way to do it, bringing in players that certainly add to that culture and then committing to them by building a winner. And that's such an encouraging sign to see from Memphis. So though Melton and Concher and Jonte Porter, none of them are really, you know, Melton will be a significant piece of the future, but none of them will truly be a difference maker. It's a step in the right direction, and you could see one of these moves, you know, either directly or indirectly, eventually help the Grizzlies gain the true difference maker that they want to add to Ja and Jaren in the future to really become a contender. Thanks so much for listening. My name is Sean Coleman. Again, the podcast is at Locked on Grizz, myself at StatsSAC. We're available wherever podcasts are, Spotify, Stitcher, the podcast app on your phone. However you choose to listen, please do, and we appreciate any time that you do that. Later this week, we will certainly, tomorrow, we will go in detail regarding Desmond Bane. I did not do a prospect profile for him leading to the draft because I thought that he would go much higher than the Grizzlies' range to be able to get him, but I will break down Desmond Bane, talk about what his game, what the intrigue of his game is, him and both his game and him as a person, why he fits the Grizzlies so well, and what to expect of him long term. Until next time, hope you have a great day, and we'll talk to you soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.